I was wrong. Pat Colvin told me that Brian went home last night. But you can still keep praying for Brian and his family. So. We live in dark days, but yet there are opportunities for the gospel. Dark days with wars and rumors of wars, morally and sexually, everyone does that which is right in their own eyes. Spiritually, many people think that everyone goes to heaven or that there are many different roads to God, and all roads lead to Him, many people think. But where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. If you light a candle in bright daylight, you hardly even notice that it's lit. But when all other lights have gone out and it is pitch dark, that one light, that one candle shines bright. As it gets darker around us, the light shines brighter. As God's children through faith alone in Jesus Christ, let us shine God's light into the darkness around us. That's the theme of today's passage from Ephesians. I invite you to turn to Ephesians 5 as we go through the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 5, 8 through 17. We'll actually begin with verse 7. Ephesians 5, 7 through 17. Paul is telling us how to live as Christians, how to live out our position in Jesus Christ. Imitating God, he begins with in verse 1, imitate God in love and in purity, separation from the world around us. We had to live different from the world around us. And now Paul is continuing that theme in today's passage, Ephesians 5, 7 through 17. If you can, please stand for the reading of God's word. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that's good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The grass withers and the flowers do fall, but the word of our God will stand forever. Amen. You may be seated. How to live as children of light, verses 8 through 10, shine God's light, verses 11 through 14, expose the darkness. And verses 15 through 17, live carefully and wisely. First of all then, verses 8 through 10, shine God's light. Shine the light because you, follower of Jesus Christ, those who are trusting in Jesus Christ, you are the light. At one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, verse 8. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 14 to 16 of his followers, you are the light of the world. He doesn't say become the light, you are the light. And the issue is how brightly do we shine for him then and reflect him. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We are to reflect God's character as his children. James 1:17, verse 16 actually says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." There's no clouds, no darkness. And our Lord, 1 John emphasizes this also, 1 John 1:5-7. "This is the message we've heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Never think of the Eastern idea of the yin and the yang, that the one, there's one force, and part of it's dark, and part of it's light. There's no yin and yang with God. He's all holy, blinding purity. There's no dark side of God. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. That was last week's theme. Those who live this way continually in sexual immorality, impurity, and greed have no inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ. We say we have fellowship with him, and while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Back to Ephesians 5, verse 8. We once were darkness. For at one time you were darkness. Notice it doesn't say you were in the darkness. You were darkness. We were once part of the forces of darkness. Ephesians 2:1-2. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air," that's Satan, "the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience." Before Jesus Christ, we all lived in darkness. We all were dark, in darkness, in the domain of Satan. Ephesians 6:12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness," Satan's domain, "against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." John Calvin in the 1500s said, "While we are outside Christ, all is under the dominion of Satan. All is darkness." Not only living in the darkness, but darkness itself. But the gospel, the good news is, but now we are light. At one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. What a beautiful picture of salvation, of regeneration. God has shown the light in the face of in the gospel and in Jesus Christ. God has given us a new heart and faith. He's given us new birth. We are now in the kingdom of light. Now in Christ, we are to shine the light by living out the fruit of the light, verse 9. "For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true." The Holy Spirit produces his good fruit in us as we walk with him in his ways and obedience. It means we don't just curse the darkness, as some say, but we light a candle. And you are that light. You are that candle. Light is necessary to bear fruit. So only Christians produce real fruit that's pleasing to God by the power of the Holy Spirit. We shine out God's light, verse 10, by approving what is acceptable or pleasing to the Lord, and try to discern or approve what is pleasing to the Lord. We walk in the light by testing the teaching we hear. Don't accept everything everybody says, and when they quote a Bible verse or whatever, check it out yourself. We approve the truth according to his word. Romans 12:2 says, after verse 1 says, surrender our bodies as living sacrifices, and then verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world." Literally, stop being conformed. Or stop letting the world around you squeeze you into its mold. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing or discerning approval, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Stop letting the world squeeze you into its mold and its thinking. For example, that there are not many roads to God. There's only one, Jesus Christ. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Or in our living, God calls us to purity sexually and morally. We are shining the light as God's representatives in this world. How brightly are you shining for Jesus? Individually? And yes, even as a church together, how brightly are we shining as his people right here at Country Christian? When we shine God's light, we secondly expose the darkness, verses 11 through 14. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, verse 11. We've been delivered from darkness and brought into God's light. A couple of great passages on this again. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. He, God, has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, the light, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And 1 Peter 2, 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Isn't that fantastic? We're not to live any longer in darkness then, but expose it. We expose the evil of the world as we turn the searchlight of God's truth, the Bible, onto it. The law reveals our sin. Paul explains in Romans 3 that the purpose of the law is to show us we're all sinners. None of us could ever make it to God in our own efforts and our own power, our own self-righteousness, our own pride. We turn God's word onto ourselves and the world around us. We see sin as sin, and it shows sin to be sin. The Bible says greed, lying, stealing are always wrong. Corrupt, abusive words, Ephesians 4:29, are always wrong. Ephesians 5:3 and 4, sex outside of marriage is still wrong. Living together before marriage is wrong. Homosexuality is still sin. And when we see the sin, we see the darkness, it should, it makes it visible. It should lead us to the light, than to Jesus Christ, who is the light, and we have forgiveness through his shed blood. The lies and deception of the devil are exposed by God's truth in the Bible, 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. It's not physical weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Some of the crazy opinions of the world, you know, or the devil, his argument, it's only a small sin. Everybody's doing it. Don't worry about it. I think God is, and people fill in the blank, you know, I think God is all love. That's the God I want to believe in. I don't think God would ever send anybody to hell, right? You hear people say that. Or God can't forgive you now. You've gone too far. You might as well just keep on sinning. A lie of the devil. No, truth is light, and truth reveals and dispels darkness and leads us to Jesus. Verse 11, we're not to share or participate then in the unfruitful works of darkness. Romans 13, 11 through 14, the Apostle Paul there says, besides this, notice how there's time involved here and light and many of the themes of Ephesians 5. Besides this, you know the time that the hour has come for you to wake up from sleep. Preachers like that verse anyway. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness, similar to unfruitful works of darkness, and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. Some of the unfruitful works of darkness right there. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. That's the verse that got Augustine back in right around AD 400. Augustine was struggling with, how do I give up my woman, my women? He always had he always had a girlfriend that he lived with, and he didn't want to give up his sexual lusts, and he struggled with that, and he knew Christ was calling him. And one day he heard some kids are playing a game, and they were throwing dice and saying, take up and read, take up and read. He took it as a divine command to take up the Bible where he'd been reading. It was Romans 13, right, this passage. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just a matter of saying no to our lust, but it's putting on Jesus Christ positively. And then because of Christ, and then finding our satisfaction and joy and delight in him, we will no longer then find our joy and satisfaction in our lusts. And that was the verse that brought Augustine to Jesus Christ and faith and resting in him. Well, deeds of darkness are polluting. In fact, it is shameful to speak of much of what the world does and says. This warning is probably referring to such things as mentioned already by Paul in verses 3 through 4. But sexual immorality, we talked about that, porneia, is any kind of sex outside of marriage. Premarital, extramarital, homosexual, whatever. Sexual immorality outside of marriage between a man and a woman. And all impurity, uncleanness. Talked about pornography in our thinking. Read the stats last week. 64% of Christian men and 15% of Christian women see pornography at least once a month. Wow. God deliver us. Or covetousness, greed. Is that a problem in America? Greed must not even be named among you as is proper among saints, holy ones. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. Filthy speech and off-color jokes should never be named amongst Christians. We condemn the immorality of this world without needing to know or go into all the details of depravity and debauchery. The light drives out darkness. We are to seek God's light and God's truth in every situation. And our daily light is from God's word. Psalm 43:3 says, a prayer to God, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Light and truth are interconnected. Psalm 119:105, you've already sang it, the old song there, thy word. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Have you ever been in a cave? You go down in there and they turn off all the lights and it's pitch darkness. You're afraid to even move to even take a step because it's so dark you can't see anything at all. Then suddenly the guide turns on his flashlight again, or a light comes on. It's bright. And from that one light even you can see a lot then. Well, the Bible will guide you when the path gets dark and scary. Seek God's light and his truth first. The Bible will light your way home through this life and into eternity. We cannot accept the opinions and values of the ungodly. Exposing darkness actually may lead others by God's grace to see the light in Jesus Christ. In John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We want to not just condemn sin, but bring people to Jesus the light, point them to Jesus Christ. In order to be in the light, you have to have Jesus. No one trusts Jesus without their sin being exposed first, though. And that's where the exposing of sin comes. Until we acknowledge our sin, why do we need a Savior? And so we have to first be convicted of our sin, see our desperate need of Jesus Christ, and that He alone can save us, and we, by God's grace, see Him. He peels the scales off our eyes and shows us the light of Jesus Christ. Light both then makes visible and transforms. Jesus is the light. We shine for Him. Earlier we read, we are the light. Jesus says, I'm the light. What's the deal there? Well, a good illustration of that is we're like the sun. Jesus is like the sun and we're like the moon. The moon itself is cold and lifeless, right? Just a rock, a dead rock in space. But it sure shines brighter when there's no clouds, right? When there's full moon. Just a week or so ago, I was letting the dog out at 2 in the morning, and man, it was light. It seemed really light out. But the moon itself has no light. It's just reflecting the light of the sun. And that's how we should see ourselves. We don't have light in ourselves. It all comes from Jesus Christ. He's the light. We reflect His light. But without the clouds of sin and all, it shines brighter, and we ought to shine brighter and brighter for Jesus every day. Verse 14, for anything that becomes visible is life. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Because we are the light and in the light, we are to be awake, be alive, and eager to live in service of God. Again, Isaiah 60 says, arise, shine, for your light has come. And I mention that verse because scholars, you know, say that this verse 14, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, Christ will shine on you, is an early Christian hymn. And that may well be, Paul's quoting something that the Christians sang. We don't know for sure, but that's what many think. Or it could be Paul's piecing together, as it says, he's quoting phrases from Isaiah 26:19, talks about, awake, O sleeper. And in Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come. Arise from the dead, and he applies it then to Jesus Christ. Christ will, the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Christ will shine on you. But whatever, it's a fantastic verse, isn't it? Summarized by Leon Morris, he says this, the Christian life is like an awakening from sleep, a rising from the dead. It's a spiritual resurrection. We were once dead in our trespasses and sins, and He has brought us to life. God has done it through Jesus Christ. And it's a going then from darkness into light. It's an ongoing process of growing then in the light towards Jesus Christ. And the light and life then are gifts from Christ, not results of our own human efforts or merits. I'm dating myself, but I think of Keith Green's song, an old song, like waking up from the longest dream, right? How real it seemed until your love broke through. Walking as children of light means we shine God's light, we expose darkness, and thirdly, we live carefully and wisely, verses 15 through 17. Look, because we're in the light now, we can see. So the command is, look. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Because we are the light and live in the light, we are to live carefully. We are to continually use our opportunities God gives us. Wise people know our time is short, and they make the most of time that God gives us. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us. And Psalm 90 has the verse, you know, I'm going to fly away soon. We fly away like it's 1,000 years in God's sight. It's like one night, boom, it's all gone. So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. James 4:14, actually verse 13 says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. You know, we've got our life planned out. We've got a lot of business opportunities coming up. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. It doesn't mean don't plan, but it means God's sovereign over time. I mean, you don't know if we're going to have tomorrow even. It's in God's hands. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist It appears for a little time and then vanishes. Like you drive on the roads on the way to work, on the way to school, and you see the mist hanging over the field, and you drive back later and it's gone. That's the picture here. Because life is like a vapor, my candle is not going to stay lit a long time in this life. Because life is like a vapor, my batteries and my lamp are soon going to get weaker. Yours will too. Therefore, believers are to make the most of our opportunities for Christ. We are to redeem the time, buying back what we used to use for selfish and sinful purposes and wasting time, to now use our time for God's glory. God gives us opportunities daily to do His will and obey Him. Each day, each morning is a new opportunity to surrender and dedicate it to God. It is unbelief to say you need more time to do God's will. Some people say, well, if I only had another hour or another 4 hours today, if I only had another day in the week, right, then I'd really do something, accomplish something. But each of us receives the same 24 hours a day. It's how we use them that matters. Let us be careful to prioritize our time for God and not waste our lives. We are to use opportunities for good and let go of opportunities to waste our time. Seize the day, carpe diem, for Jesus Christ. John MacArthur writes, outside of purposeful disobedience of God's word, the most spiritually foolish thing a Christian can do is to waste time and opportunity to fritter away his life in trivia and in half-hearted service to the Lord. Wow. It is crucial to use our time for God because the days are evil. Paul says in Galatians 1:4, Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age. Philippians 2:14-16, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. If you don't use your time for God, the devil will be glad to use it for you, or the world, and even our own flesh, our own selfish flesh, right? I know I'm speaking to myself too. Maybe we have to turn the TV off more, right? Or stop frittering away our time. Wise people discern the will of God. This doesn't refer to God's sovereign will. We don't know all of God's sovereign will. We know how it's going to end. The Lamb wins, and new heavens and new earth, and glory to come. But we don't know all God's sovereign will and His secret will until it happens. But we are to seek God's will first in the Bible, because the Bible is God's revealed will. How does God want us to live? Look at the Bible first. It's our ultimate authority. Last week we read 1 Thessalonians 4. This is God's will for you, your holiness, that you avoid sexual immorality. There's one specific reference of God's will. Where Scripture speaks, God speaks. Don't refine it, don't redefine it, believe it. To purposefully disobey the Bible is to purposefully disobey God Himself. A song said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. No, it's simply, God said it, that settles it. And that should be your attitude. God said it, that settles it, right? God's word shows us the way. This is the way. Will you walk in it? Will you follow Him? Some concluding questions for us. First of all, are you awake and alive unto God? Has Christ shined upon you? Or are you still walking in the darkness of sin and self and pride, going your own way, believing your own opinions about God. Repent and believe the gospel. Trust in Jesus Christ alone. Acknowledge your sin. Trust in Jesus Christ alone to save you. His shed blood to wash away your sins. His resurrection to give you new life. And then, follower of Jesus Christ, Christian, how well are you representing Jesus by shining his light in the world? In your thinking and your values, your treasures, your goals, in your use of time, in your words, do you speak differently than the world around you? You think differently than the world around you? In your actions, do you act differently than the world around you? You should if you're his follower. Do you spend time with God in his word to get to know the light of the way better? In a Martha world, do you live like Mary from Luke, the Gospel of Luke? Martha, who was so busy and distracted by all the preparation that had to be made, banging her pots and pans together. I got to do this for Jesus. I got to do all this stuff for Jesus and keep everything going, right? And Mary, she comes and confronts Jesus. Jesus, tell Mary to help me. What does Jesus say? Mary has chosen what is better. And it will not be taken away from her. What did Mary choose? Sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. We need to do more of that, don't we? To rest in him, to spend time in prayer and in his word, to keep your spiritual batteries charged for your light, refueling daily. What is written is for our instruction and encouragement. I encourage you to have a grasp of the Bible, the whole eternal plot from Genesis to Revelation. Do you? If not, get into it again. But the creation and our sin, and then the law showing our sin and pointing us to the Savior, Jesus Christ, and the church, and then the judgment and the new heavens and the new earth and heaven and hell. Can you trace that all out as you read through the Bible? With Jesus Christ at the center of it all, he's the theme of it all. Treasure Christ by getting into his word afresh. Begin anew to open it every day. Finally, are you using your God-given time wisely then to shine his light as you have opportunity? Don't waste your life on trivia and trinkets. Some guys in my church in Kansas always reminded me, Pat, there are two things that are eternal in this world. The Word of God and people. So where are you investing your life, your time? In people and God's Word? Maybe do so. By the grace of God, everything else is fading and will pass away. Let us pray together. Father, I pray in the quietness of these moments that you continue by your Spirit to work in our hearts, to speak to us. And Lord, we pray that we would realize the shortness of life. We would live wisely, making the most of every day, every opportunity you give us for Christ. Lord, burn within us an urgency to live for you, to know you, to speak of you, to share you with others, to encourage others in Christ, to invest in people around us for your glory. Lord, we pray that we as your people, through faith in Jesus Christ, would shine brightly for you, that we would be your light in this dark world. Not only condemning the world, but leading people to see the desperate need of Jesus Christ without him. And that Christ alone forgives sin. Christ alone saves. And pointing them to the Savior, Jesus Christ. Because he is our light. And Lord, I pray that we would treasure your word even more in our lives daily. You continue to shine the light through your word and how we should live for you every moment. That you would cause us to speak more in a way that honors you, to think it more in a way that honors you, to live more in a way that honors you. For your glory, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's stand and